Well, alleluia, Christ is risen. I'm going to try to keep doing that as long as I can this Easter season. When this reading comes up, the one we just heard, I know that a huge number of preachers are going to focus entirely on doubting Thomas. When we're done with this service here this morning, and some point later on in the day, I'm going to look at Facebook, and there will be countless people posting photos and jokes about doubting Thomas. And I think focusing entirely on Thomas in a way like that can make some of us feel spiritually smug. We'll tell ourselves, well, Thomas was there. Thomas knew Jesus, and yet Thomas didn't believe. I wasn't there to see everything, but I still believe. And this is something that can puff us up. The problem in this comes from not reading this passage in the larger context of Scripture. Thomas is only one part of the passage we hear from the Gospel according to John today. And this passage starts with the disciples in hiding. It's the evening of the first day of the week. The disciples already heard the news about the resurrection earlier in the day, what we heard last week. But they're still trying to process this. It's a big thing to think through, and they don't have the benefit at this point of so much of the New Testament to explain the resurrection to them. And so because of that lack of understanding, the disciples are still very afraid of the leaders of the Jewish community. They don't want to end up crucified themselves. And somehow, Scripture is unclear here, but in this locked and closed room, Jesus appears in the midst of them. In the middle of this tense, puzzled, scared situation. We can kind of tell how tense this is because Jesus' first words are, "Peace be with you." Jesus wants to emphasize he's not there to cause problems or to bring about judgment. He's there bringing peace. Jesus follows this up by showing them his hands and his side. It's Jesus showing them he is who he says he is. But also, what happened to him 3 days ago is real. It's not that Jesus only appeared to die. It's not that Jesus is a ghost or some illusion. Jesus really did die. And as you all said shortly after the start of the sermon, the Lord is risen indeed. This is what they're seeing. Then Jesus repeats himself, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." So, these words, "peace be with you," that's more than just a statement of caution or letting them know he doesn't want to harm them. Jesus has a greater purpose here. Part of this is to get them out of the dumps after the resurrection. They don't need to be afraid anymore. But this is more importantly telling them that they have an instrumental role to play in Jesus' ministry. Jesus is sending them to continue what he started. Then we get to a section that most people tend to ignore compared to Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles in Acts. You don't see this much in art or Christian thought, but Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." In this act, Jesus is passing on the forgiveness of sins that he did in his ministry to his group of disciples. Not just them as individuals, but to the church at large. This is something very real that Jesus is passing on. And it hints to how important the forgiveness of sins is in what we do as Christians. When we share the gospel with people, that ultimate hope is that they'll enter that relationship with God. They'll become children of God. And they'll repent of their sins and ask for and receive God's forgiveness. This forgiveness of sins is also something we still see today. The church has given this as a ministry to the bishops and priests. In a little bit, after the prayers of the people, after the creed, we'll confess our sins, and I'll stand up here and pronounce absolution or forgiveness of sins, continuing this ministry Jesus passes on here. It's not something that we do of our own, like some special power. It's us obeying Christ who passed on this ministry to the church. It's not us in ourselves forgiving sins. Rather, it's us pronouncing God's forgiveness through Christ's death on the cross. We should see the forgiveness of our sins as an important part of our lives as Christians. This is where the peace Christ spoke of comes from. Then comes the part that many of us have been waiting for, Thomas. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus came. And so when he returns, he doesn't believe any of this. The thing is, though, Thomas isn't denying Christ. He's denying the other apostles' testimony of Christ. Thomas is someone who still believes Jesus is the Messiah. He still believes in all of Jesus' teachings. And one of the things we don't think of, it's not that Jesus appears right after Thomas's denial. The apostles spend a full week with Thomas. And Thomas isn't just kicked out or thrown away. I'm sure during this time, the apostles still love him. They still do ministry with him. But they want Thomas to believe with them. And it's about a week later that Jesus does appear to Thomas and the other apostles. And Thomas comes to a fuller sense of faith in Jesus, exclaiming, "My Lord and my God." I'm sure the apostles have spent this whole week thinking through and praying through their last experience with Jesus. Thomas has been there to hear them go through all of that, to have them analyze a bit more what that appearance meant. And so when it happens in front of Thomas, he's literally amazed in the truest sense of the word. In a lot of ways, the apostles have helped to do the groundwork in Thomas leading up to his experience of the risen Christ. Then, after seeing Jesus and processing that it's really him, Jesus tells them, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." This is true in a way not just for Thomas, but for all the disciples. It took that experience of seeing him for themselves for all of the disciples. They were all afraid until they personally saw Jesus. But what Jesus says here isn't an admonishment, or he's not scolding the apostles. It's a directive, a command, and really it's a promise. They believe because they've seen Jesus. Now it's up to them to go share that belief with those who haven't seen. Really, this is a good thing. Jesus is telling them they get to be the ones to share this with other people. They get to see that blessing in other people's lives. So often, we draw such a sharp distinction between the way things were when Jesus engaged in ministry and the way they were after the resurrection. Jesus is telling the apostles that now they're the ones who will be in charge, but that so much of this will be the same. The teaching will be the same. The blessings will be the same. And while they won't see Jesus in the flesh, they will see him at work in the church, in the people that they bring to him. So in many ways, I think it's more comfortable for us to focus on doubting Thomas because we don't want to read the other parts of the passage. We're not locked up in a room because of our Christian faith, scared of the authorities arresting us or worse. But too often we as Christians put ourselves in these rooms, sequestered and separate from the rest of the world, reveling in that faith and experience, but not sharing it as we should. Jesus is telling us we can't just see him as the one sent by the Father and ourselves as his target. Really, there is no final target. Christ is now sending his apostles and sending us into the world to continue his work, to keep spreading his message of forgiveness and peace. And that's one of the truths of the resurrection that's important for us to take to heart. Easter isn't just this day where we come to church, we rejoice, and then we go home. Easter should be a time for us to remember Christ's resurrection and for it to spur us on to share that resurrection more with our loved ones and with others around us in our lives, and to show that resurrection more in our lives, and for us to pray that that resurrection impact more and more people around the world. So instead of hearing about doubting Thomas and thinking that, unlike him, you believe without having seen Jesus, and letting that become a source of pride, be thankful that through him and the others who have seen, this message has been spread. The resurrection we celebrated last week is something that impacts each of us today. But we've been able to turn to Christ in faith and to receive the benefits of that resurrection only because someone told us about it. And someone told them about it, going in this chain back to this first group. We can't expect to sit back and just bask in that relationship. It's up to us to continue to share that good news of the resurrection. And when we do, we'll be able to see the blessing, the resurrection in the lives of the people who haven't seen it. Amen.